Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio, and welcome to the second part of our national nightmare. The first part was the global pandemic, which hit our shores in March, and now comes a presidential election, which is tied, basically.
And at this point, skewing against the president with the remaining states.
Yes.
I think that's fair to say.
We're gonna get into that in just a moment. But it's a dead heat with 6 states yet to report their totals. And those are the 6 states, basically, that will decide the presidency. Fred Jackson, how you doing, Brother Fred?
Doing just fine. You know, finding out you can run on 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah, I know. I went to bed at 3.
I've only had 3 hours.
I got 3.5. You got 3? Wow.
3 hours.
Too much coffee? Toss and turn?
Yeah, well.
Checking your phone?
My wife was... My son and daughter-in-law were up here last night. My wife was babysitting, so I went home with the kids, and we just slept there.
Yeah.
And so I was in a strange bed. I was thinking about the election and tossed and turned a great deal.
All right.
I'm not complaining.
You know? I know, but just so folks know.
It didn't sound like it.
just so that folks know, the three of us are not responsible for anything we say.
That's true.
And a half, because we didn't get any sleep last night. We want to thank everybody that joined us for election night coverage. We should start calling it election night / morning coverage, because we were here, like many of you, stayed up well past midnight, hoping to see if we could find out who won the presidency, first and foremost, and then you had a lot of Senate races going on all across America. So, Fred, tell us where we stand right now.
All right. If you were listening last night when we left the air around 12:45 in the morning, the total numbers as far as the presidential race for Joe Biden, 238 electoral votes, Donald Trump, 213. Now, what has changed since we last met early this morning is that when we went to bed, Wisconsin and Michigan were favoring President Trump. That has changed overnight. And right now, Wisconsin and Michigan are leaning slightly towards former Vice President Biden. So let me just try to give you some numbers there. In Wisconsin, with 95% of the precincts counted, Joe Biden has a lead of about 21,000 votes. That hasn't changed over the last couple of hours. In Michigan, with about 96% of the precincts counted, Joe Biden has a lead now of about 30,000, 40,000 votes at this moment. So that puts a lot of different things into play when you start to try to add up the numbers required, which is 270 electoral votes. Now, with regards to the three other key states, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania, Georgia, just about where we left it last night, we're wondering what has happened there. It's almost in a stall of sorts. North Carolina, much the same thing. Leaning Trump at this hour. Pennsylvania, I've just been listening to news conferences from Pennsylvania this morning. The state lieutenant governor, John Fetterman, this is what he had to say. In Pennsylvania, there are still 1.4 million ballots still to count. What he's talking about are the ballots that were mailed in. And he thinks, of course, he's a Democrat, that they are going to favor Democrat voters in that. But this is going to be the big sticking point, folks. This is going to be the focus of litigation, as President Trump promised last night. We'll play a little bit of his speech, actually, from early this morning. The issue in Pennsylvania, as we've been reporting over the last week or so, has to do with court decisions that said Pennsylvania is allowed to continue to receive ballots up to Friday of this week. They also liberalized the conditions for validating these ballots. In other words, if a signature on the ballot doesn't match the official signature, Pennsylvania is saying we're still going to count it. Also, if they can't make out the postal date of when the ballot was mailed, they're still going to go ahead and count it. And those are the kinds of things that are likely to be challenged, probably will be challenged by the president. If Michigan and Wisconsin go to Joe Biden, and that makes the path very, very difficult for President Trump. He can win Georgia, North Carolina and Pennsylvania, but he does need either Wisconsin, Michigan, or Nevada in order to make it to 270. So that's where we are this morning. We are going to go to court. And as was said, I think Jonathan Turley, and we'll hear from him in a moment, this constitutional expert, lawyer, Fox analyst, he said, if you can remember back to the year 2000, the hanging chads in Florida, if you thought that was tense, what you're going to face over the next few weeks, maybe a couple of months, is going to be 10 times more intense.
Yes, if that happens.
If that happens.
Let me tell you how that could not happen or would not matter. If Biden wins Wisconsin and Michigan today, and he's leading
by, it looks like he will.
It looks like he will, again, by the narrowest of margins, and he was favored in those states by 6 to 10 points by the pollsters, and we can talk about that later. Then the Biden campaign would say, we were going to wait for Nevada on Thursday. Nevada, for some reason, is saying, I read they're not going to report their results till Thursday.
Right.
I don't know why. They've stopped at 67%, and that's with Trump. Trump trailing Biden by 8,000 votes. If what I'm saying to you is, if Biden wins Wisconsin and Michigan and Nevada, he wins.
Yeah. Here's the way it's shaped.
So there's no need to go to court over Pennsylvania.
Right. If the president is leading in Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania, if he wins those and Michigan and Wisconsin go to Biden, whoever wins Nevada wins the Electoral College. Because that scenario just laid out, without Nevada, Biden has 264 electoral votes. Trump is 267. So whoever gets Nevada at that point, which is leaning for Biden, wins the election. So now, now President Trump could go to court. If he wins Pennsylvania, there's no need, but he might go to court over Michigan. I have some questions about what's happened in Michigan overnight. I'm not gonna, you know, lay a lot of those out because, you know, at this point, it almost sounds like hearsay, but I think that would be a good spot. And then if a court says, yeah, there were some shenanigans overnight, you're going to have to recount them all with an impartial panel going through them. I mean, that might drag things out for a couple of weeks, but that if Trump then flipped Michigan, he would win. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. This is so, you could not write a novel with this kind of a storyline, and anybody would say that, well, I'm glad that was a novel because that could never happen.
Right.
Really.
Or I'd hate to live through it.
we're talking about states, huge states in some cases, that are several of them, big states that are practically 50-50. North Carolina is, you know, 50, Trump has 50-50 and Biden has 49, basically. Georgia, eat my hat, Georgia, is 50.5 for Trump,
48.3.
So that's 2.2. You know, Michigan and Wisconsin, other examples of states that are just even, almost even.
Trump is only 0.7 behind Biden, less than a percentage point in Michigan. And the same in Wisconsin, extremely,
right.
extremely close. And that's why there may be some grounds for taking a look. I'm not sure what the law is. And I know the law, we just found out last night in North Carolina, if the difference is less than a percentage point, this triggers an automatic recount. It's not there yet. It's 1.4 percentage points different. So that right now doesn't look like a triggered recount, but in both Michigan and Wisconsin, you could, depending what their law is, you could have a recount.
Yeah, I mean, a lot will be decided. Well, we may not know who wins. Well, I'll put it this way: we either will know if Biden wins, we're going to know by Thursday, which is tomorrow, according to Nevada.
Well, they start counting on Thursday. I don't know how long it'll take them to finish.
Right. Nevada announced they were going to take a day off.
Have you ever seen that?
They're taking a holiday.
I can never remember. You know, Michigan and Wisconsin and some of these other states, I think North Carolina and Georgia, they went home. Didn't they? They went home last night, the vote counters. I don't think I've ever seen that, where they go home and they go, well, we're going to take it back up tomorrow.
This is not a job you go home. Now, I'm not saying you don't have other workers who come in to take your place after a 12-hour shift
right.
or something like that. Hmm. But I'm just saying you don't stop counting. You don't take a 10-hour break or whatever
right.
to stop counting.
Hey, you guys want to go to Huddle House?
I know.
It's crazy.
Now, in fairness to all of us here across the country, we've never had, A, this much participation mm-hmm. in an election, and B, never had this many absentee ballots cast.
Right, because of the COVID.
Not even close.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's one of those things on, we've never done this before, so how exactly do you prepare for it? I would use Florida in the future for your model. Because
it's the first time we've ever said that.
Yeah. Florida is larger than Pennsylvania. Or Michigan, or
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, or North Carolina, for that matter. I don't know how North Carolina does this exactly. Maybe North Carolina does it like Florida. But Florida, they had their absentee ballots or mail-in ballots counted as they went along.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then so that they could have them done by today, done by last night, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that and they did. They certified, they had 100%.
Right.
So now I will say this, it is true that we've never gone down this path, but everyone knew, these states that allow early voting, mail-in voting, they knew how many ballots they'd sent out.
Yes.
So to me, they should have, Fred, I think...
Been more prepared?
They should have been more prepared for a massive voter dump, you know, of early voting.
I know. Yeah. You know, whether you agree with President Trump or not, but going back weeks when Pennsylvania, these other states started talking about mailing out hundreds of thousands of absentee ballots, he said this is going to result in a crisis.
Right.
This is going to be a mess. We will not know the results on election night, and Americans deserve to know the results. And I think he was reminding people last night when he came out early this morning. This is what he had to say. It's cut number 5.
Millions and millions of people voted for us tonight, and a very sad group of people is trying to disenfranchise that group of people, and we won't stand for it. Because you know what happened? They knew they couldn't win, so they said, let's go to court. And did I predict this, Newt? Did I say this? I've been saying this from the day I heard they were going to send out tens of millions of ballots. I said exactly, because either they were going to win, or if they didn't win, they'll take us to court. This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
So that was the president.
I don't agree with that.
Okay.
I love President Trump. I voted for him. And I know this makes a lot of people angry listening to us, and I hope that we allow grace here for for each other and not get so angry you say,
well, this is our job. We got to say what we believe.
Yeah, and so if we can't voice our opinion on things like this, because everybody gets mad at Tim,
because you're the liberal.
Because I'm the liberal here. I am by no means, but and it's not the end of the world, but the president did not win last night. He hasn't won yet. That's the whole reason he's not. That's the reason he's saying I'm going to court.
Right.
Now he may yet win, and he may have a great court case. I don't know what all the factors are that he's talking about where it was a fraud.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it wasn't a fraud. I'm just saying he didn't lay any details out to prove, and that's a very serious accusation to make. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have to have a public relations angle to this thing, not just the legal one. So he's going to have to explain to the American people what he means by a fraud. Now, I will agree, and I'm guessing you would agree, it is an embarrassment, like he said.
Yes, I agree with that.
But
let me just be very specific about what everything he said last night, I didn't have a problem with, really, except the fraud thing and the, I'm willing to give, let him prove, let he and his team prove their case on that.
Right.
Okay, because evidently he knows something we don't know, or he wouldn't have said that last night. Okay, so I'm willing to wait and see on that. The problem I have is when you say we won.
Right.
Because all the votes had not been counted yet. And there were states that he claimed victory for that had not been called yet.
Right.
By anybody. Georgia and North Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin. If a Democrat president said that, and said we won, what would we be saying right now?
No, you're exactly right. We'd be saying, no, you didn't.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. Now, so please do not send me emails and about that. If I can't say that and be fair about it, then
It's a good rule of thumb to say, how would I feel? And this is basically the golden rule, okay? Yeah. How would I feel if the role was reversed? And if the roles were reversed and everything looked like it was trending toward my candidate and the other guy came out and said, this is a fraud, we won last night, and you say we won last night and it was a fraud, that means you had the votes, the races were called, and now somehow there's shenanigans going on. So the president was factually inaccurate. He claimed that they did win Georgia and North Carolina. Those haven't been called. And the thing is, with all these ballots outstanding, these mail, nobody really knows what's going on. I tried last night all night long finding websites that would tell me exactly how many mail-in ballots went out for each of these states that were remaining. I could not find numbers, that were consistent. So there are a lot of people who don't know what's going on. I do think it's an embarrassment.
Who are acting like they do know what's going on.
Yes. I think it's an embarrassment the way this is played out, because these votes we should have had a winner last night.
Yes.
That's, to me, that is an embarrassment. When you send vote counters home on election night, that's ridiculous. So that is,
and I don't know what they're doing in Nevada, because I mean, what takes Maybe there's a reasonable explanation, but I don't know what takes till Thursday when you and you only have 67% of the vote counted. Maybe it takes them that long to count the ballots that were mailed out.
I'm with you. I don't know. This is embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
And some of these states just appear to be incompetent. Whether that rises
Georgia's
to
been
fraud.
Stuck on 94% for 12 hours.
Yep.
Yeah.
North Carolina's been stuck on 94% for 12 hours.
Which just raises suspicions.
So you want to know, well, what's the explanation for that? Maybe we'll hear it today. Mm-hmm. Now, the president, you know, he's ahead by 700,000 last night. He's ahead by 400,000 votes, 470,000 votes, it appears, roughly, in Pennsylvania.
Now, see, that is odd because...
And the percentage hasn't changed.
The percentage hasn't changed. So, I don't know what's going on. I share the president's frustration at this whole... When we went home last night, all these states, including Nevada, but certainly Michigan and Wisconsin, were leaning towards the president. Bill Hemmer of Fox News... You know, said, I think you sent that out, said, I don't see how Vice President Biden overcomes Trump's advantage in these states. And now, overnight, after they had stopped counting, we come back, we wake up in the morning and, oh, well, somebody must have been counting because a bunch of votes have come in for Vice President Biden.
Yeah. Listen,
so it's frustrating.
I am by no means saying there could have been some foul play going on here. But what I'm saying is I hope today or tomorrow the president will have somebody designated to lay out for the American people what they're talking about when they say, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With if there was voter fraud. If there was voter fraud. We'll see. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. The Senate race looking pretty good for the Republicans, right, Fred?
Yeah, and even the mainstream media, which doesn't like the president, is admitting that it looks like the Senate will certainly stay in control of the Republicans. They also made gains, Republicans, in the House. But maintaining control of the Senate, let's just say that Joe Biden does win the presidency. His plans for packing the court, his plans for a lot of different things that would require the approval of the Senate will be shut down. So it is important, at least, that the Republicans hold on to the Senate, and it does look that way right now. They had a couple of pickups last night and a few losses, but it looks like the margin is going to be about the same as we went into the election.
Now, we said last night, citing Fox News, I guess, at least I think saying that John James had been declared the winner in Michigan, but that's not been called yet. Is that correct?
And that is still very close. Only 20,000. John James has a lead of only 20,000 votes, with 96% reporting in. John James, the challenger, a Christian man. Gary Peters, the incumbent. That looks like it's pretty close. I'm not sure that anyone can call that right now.
Right, but if that flips for the Republicans, that's a big deal.
That's huge.
That's a big deal. And the Republicans held on to Lindsey Graham's seat, Susan Collins in Maine.
Mm-hmm. Joni Ernst in Iowa.
Tommy Tuberville won back for the Republicans in Alabama. So
Mitch McConnell.
If the Republicans maintain control of the Senate, it blocks whatever Biden wants to do legislatively, unless he works for them.
Right.
I guess. All right, Abe Hamilton's coming up in just a minute. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
The White House is important, absolutely. But it's not more important what goes on in your house. I've said it many, 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 many times. That you can almost put it on a graph to show that everywhere government has encroached, family has retreated.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Every American ought to visit George Washington's Mount Vernon estate south of Washington, D.C. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to be going to Mount Vernon on one of our spiritual heritage tours coming up in June and September 2021. Wanted to let you know about these tours already because they will fill up quick. So, for all the information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. We're going to be going to Yorktown, Jamestown, and Williamsburg as well on a separate trip. So much rich American history there to be experienced. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation is a nationally noted historian, and he's going to be with us along the way. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Remember when Joe Biden made that gaffe about having the most extensive voter fraud organization in history? I don't think it was a gaffe. It looks like the Democrats are trying to steal a presidential election. Vote counting shut down in a number of states, including Pennsylvania. Election officials in Georgia halted the counting because they ran out of printer ink. What, they don't have a 24-hour Walmart? President Trump was right to call this out for what it really is, fraud. And the mainstream media is providing cover for the Democrats, even Fox News Channel. In the words of President Trump, he won that election last night. But do not be surprised that there's massive pressure from Republicans to call on the president to step down for the good of the country. The president must resist those calls. Be sure to download my free podcast, listen to my national radio show live, noon to 3 Eastern, streaming online at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Fred, Ed, and Tim here, and we're talking about the election, and you got Senate races that took place all over the country, and we're going to talk about those and what that means, and other ballot initiatives that took place. Abraham Hamilton III joins us. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Abe is a constitutional attorney, as well as heard each afternoon on the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time. With respect to the Senate, Abe, everybody's saying the Republicans are going to hold it. I don't know if that's going to be 51-49, 52-48. But that effectively ends the idea that the Democrats can, quote, pack the court, right?
It does, because the Supreme Court is created by the Constitution, but it did not specify the number of justices that fill the court. That is determined by Congress. So any scheme to pack the court, which means adding additional seats to the Supreme Court, would have to pass through Congress. If the Republicans maintain a majority in the Senate, that fair weather dream.
It was questionable whether that would ever happen anyway, but it's dead in the water now. So the Supreme Court will stay as it is right now until the next justice dies or retires and we replace them. And that is a 5-4, 6-3 conservative majority on most all cases. Am I right?
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay. Yeah, I probably would call it a 5-3-1
with Roberts being the new Kennedy.
Right.
Right. But still 5-4. And legislatively, the president, if it's Biden, he can't get anything done. Nancy Pelosi's, he can't get anything done legislatively. He can get a lot done as president with his executive powers.
That's right.
Over the executive branch. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not understating the power of the presidency. I'm just saying, as President Bush has, as President, well, Bush did too, but as President Trump has experienced in the last couple of years, when the other party controls the House or the Senate, it's hard to get anything done at all. You know, that you want done with a big of a big nature,
and that's by design. The founders established our separation of powers expressly so that anything that occurs legislatively has to be the product of a long and hard fought duration. It's not meant to be a rapid response entity. So when you have what we have, you know, divided government as we have it, that is the Congress operating as it has been intended. And I know that's frustrating for a lot of people who have been unfortunately conditioned to
you type double A personalities. They don't like that.
Yeah. You know, but the reason why they don't like it is because we've unfortunately been conditioned to look to the federal government to do everything, which is, which is really a gross aberration from how our constitutional republic was established.
Did y'all notice that the exit polling showed that Americans, at least half Americans, think that we're handling the COVID problem?
I saw that. I got
just fine.
Yeah,
you
are right. And I got a nice chuckle from Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. They couldn't believe it. Oh, how can half of the country believe we're doing well with the coronavirus? No health experts that I know think that. And it just shows how out of touch they are. You know,
you might want to leave New York. You know, every once in a while,
yeah. Maybe
leave New York. Realize there's
at least take a road trip up north, perhaps.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a lot of other states out here. Fred, the polls were way off in nationally.
Mm-hmm.
They had Biden winning by, 9, 10 points? 8, 9, 10 points?
577,000 to 566,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kidding.
Uh-oh. No,
they had him winning by a lot more than
The polls had Vice President Biden up nationally in the popular vote by 8 to 10 points. True?
True.
That's true.
And that's going to be more like 2 points
mm-hmm.
when it's all said and done. And the polls were way off in Michigan and Wisconsin, even though Biden may yet win those. They were way off. They were off in Pennsylvania, way off. They did get it right in Georgia. It's a very close race, very, very close race, which is surprising to me. I guess what I've learned from this is Atlanta has changed Georgia. The growth of Atlanta has changed Georgia.
Right, because it's a cosmopolitan city.
Look at the rest of the South.
And it's almost become like a little Hollywood as well. It's lots of movie and music hub. It's almost like a Hollywood South type.
And when I say cosmopolitan city, I mean people from all over the people come from all over the country,
all over the world.
Yeah, and so they are not going to be native Georgians. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what happens when you have a growing, bustling international city. But they are going to change the political landscape.
Yeah,
that's why Georgia is so close to the growth of Atlanta, for the reasons you just mentioned. North Carolina, very, very close as well. And that's another, you know, southern state you think would be red, but they border Virginia, and Virginia's trending blue. And you got Charlotte on a lesser scale than Atlanta, but Charlotte's a little Atlanta, basically, in about half the size of Atlanta, I think. That also is now trending more blue as bigger cities get bigger. That's typically, I don't know why that happens exactly, but it's.
There's an exception to that, and I think we saw it in Florida last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the experts had, as usual, the Hispanic vote favoring the Democrats. And that simply didn't happen. And it was really interesting last night. A lot of the mainstream media said they had an explanation why the Cuban vote, Puerto Ricans in Florida, why they favored Donald Trump. They were celebrating in Little Havana last night in Florida. Huge celebrations for the fact that Trump took that state. But here, have a listen to a montage of the mainstream media here telling us why That Latino vote went in favor of Donald Trump. And then we'll hear from Fox analyst Lawrence Jones, who says these media people, as usual, don't know what they're talking about. Cut number three.
We've heard the president for almost 4 years talk about how Joe Biden and Democrats would enact socialist policies in this country. To a lot of Americans, that kind of goes over their head.
Republicans were successful in trying to tie Democrats and Joe Biden, even though he made it very clear publicly he's not a socialist.
There was a lot of disinformation in radio stations in Miami, in Spanish language media there, and they really scared people into socialism.
This is lazy commentary. There was a shift with the Latino vote, Hispanic vote in Florida. It's not only because of the socialist policies, but is because they did not trust Joe Biden. The Joe Biden camp did not hire as many Latino consultants. They looked at all Hispanic voters as the same. They did not invest into a ground game with the Hispanic vote in Florida. Not only that, they decided that they were going to just direct ads at them, not really trying to understand the difference between the Cuban population to the Puerto Ricans. And so this was a failure of strategy.
As Lawrence Jones giving his assessment of the media's poor excuse-making last night.
Hey, African-Americans yesterday, President Trump, from what I read, almost doubled his vote, Abe. Have you seen that yet.
What were those numbers?
Okay, I don't have the statistics in front of me, so I can't post them. But I remember reading a trusted source that I can't remember. How's that go?
Well, on election night,
I know.
I'm constantly looking at articicles, websites, and it's hard to remember exactly where that was.
I read that President Trump increased the vote among African-American women from 4 to 8%. I read where he increased the vote up to 15 to 18% among African-American men. That's what I read.
Yeah.
Maybe we can find some statistics on that. But that would explain why he did. That would explain in part why he did so well in some of these states, Florida being one of them, especially with the Hispanic vote in South Florida.
Can I ask?
Please do.
Abe, let me just ask you this. The president, we heard in the first segment a cut from his speech last night. He's basically said that the Democrats have been fraudulent and they're going to court. What kind of thing?
Who's going to court?
The Trump campaign. Trump campaign is going to court. What kind of things? And this is a little unfair. This isn't your expertise in terms of law. Yeah, bailiwick. But what kind of things are actionable? Like in terms of Michigan, we've all heard things about what's happened in Michigan overnight, and you know some vote counters took ballots home. I don't know whether any of this stuff's true. Since conservatives generally think states run their own business, shouldn't have federal interference, what kind of things might be actionable in a state like Michigan when Trump says we're going to court? We know he has a team of lawyers. Biden has a team of lawyers. How could this play out?
Yeah, they would first of all have to be able to make some specific factual allegations that show that Democratic strategists, party members, poll, whatever, ballot counters violated the state election laws in some way. So if some ballot counters took ballots home, you know, is that a violation of Michigan's state law? I would imagine that, yes, it is. Or were there some locations where they accepted ballots beyond the time period that they were supposed to do so? There would have to be some specific factual allegations that show that there was a violation of the local election laws.
So you couldn't just go fishing,
right? No.
You couldn't. The Trump campaign couldn't. Their lawyers couldn't go to a federal judge and say, "Hey, we think something funny happened in Michigan.
Okay,
we want an investigation."
Then President Trump must know something we don't know, because he used that word last night: fraud. A couple of times. Todd Starnes did too a few minutes ago here on AFR. I don't have a problem using the word if you can prove it.
Can substantiate it. That's the thing. I mean, it's one thing to make the allegation in a speech, but it's another thing when you file an actual cause of action in a court of law, you know, and you're going to have to be able
to. Well, the president said we'll be going to the Supreme Court.
Did he say so? He said we're going to go to court. I don't know. I think he might have said Supreme Court, because obviously you got a collapsed time frame here, so you can't just go to a district judge.
I don't want
to
misquote the president on that. I thought he said he was talking too about the Democrats saying if they didn't win, that Trump himself predicted.
Let's go ahead and run that sound. You still have the with the president?
Did he say Supreme Court?
Why don't we? It wasn't very long.
Okay,
and then Abe, you listen to this and see what this is going to look like.
Millions and millions of people voted for us tonight, and a very sad group of people is trying to disenfranchise that group of people, and we won't stand for it. Because you know what happened? They knew they couldn't win, so they said, let's go to court. And did I predict this, Newt? Did I say this? I've been saying this from the day I heard they were going to send out tens of millions of ballots. I said exactly, because either they were going to win, or if they didn't win, they'll take us to court. This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
Okay, that wasn't the one. Did we already play that one?
Well, he said
that's the one we just played, Jim.
Okay. I heard some this morning where he said we're going to go to court.
Yeah, it sounded like he was saying there he was accusing his opponents of saying they were going
to. If they didn't win.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they didn't win. But he said this morning. He said last night. I heard it this morning. He said we're going to go to court. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know whether he said the Supreme Court. I'm guessing they will have to go to the Supreme Court. Because you can't draw out the election by going first to a district court and then an appellate court. That's an emergency.
You're telling me they're not going to Judge Jones down
yeah,
at the
right.
courthouse.
If you have a viable cause of action, it'll be expedited.
Yeah.
Because you can't have a year's worth of litigation over a president.
But you got to have specific accusations. Now, here's the problem. Here's where I'm sympathetic to the president, is if you think a state like Michigan has done something deceptive and illegal and fraudulent, you may not have specifics. Mm-hmm. You can only, and this is, listen, they did this in Chicago for decades with Mayor Daley's machine. And they know that if you can get something done, then election comes and goes and you get away with it because you win, you control investigations after the election. So if something underhanded was done, he may not know. So what you're saying is without specific accusations that would open a legitimate legal complaint, then you can have discovery. Yeah. Then you talk to, you know, the state election officials. Mm-hmm. You say what is the chain of where the ballots go? Do they go home?
Yeah.
Did that happen? Yeah. Then you can start putting people under oath.
Yeah, and you have witnesses that would testify, that's how you present a case.
Abe, can I ask you a question? And going specifically to Pennsylvania here, where the lieutenant governor this morning said they have 1.4 million ballots, absentee ballots, still to be counted. 1.4 million. All right. So I'm trying to figure out here. They have a bunch of rules they've made in Pennsylvania that they're going to accept ballots up until Friday of this week. As long as they're in the mail system somewhere, we'll accept them. We'd like them, Pennsylvania says, to have a postmark on it. But if it doesn't, that's okay. Pennsylvania has also decided that if it doesn't have a signature that looks like it matches the official signature, we're just going to accept those anyway. I guess I'm a little, can a state just go ahead and make up all those rules on their own? Do they have a constitutional right to make up whatever rules they want to on how to handle ballots? Because if that's the case, then we're going to see all of these states across the country saying, let's have a rule that we know will favor us on election night.
So the overarching answer to your question is no. States do not have a constitutional right to make up things as they go. But the situation in Pennsylvania is that there was a lawsuit over a legislative effort to amend the mail-in ballot rules that was litigated through the state court system from the district court level to the appellate court level to the Supreme Court level in the state of Pennsylvania. And ultimately, the basis for the U.S. Supreme Court, which at that time only had 8 justices, Amy Coney Barrett had not been confirmed, one of the primary reasons for the lack of overturning the state court Supreme Court's decision was just that this was a state issue that the Supreme Court did not want to intrude upon the province of the federal court, which is distinct from what happened in North Carolina. North Carolina, the state legislature refused to amend its state laws concerning mail-in ballots and absentee ballots. There was a lawsuit filed in the federal court. In the federal court, a federal district court judge overruled the state legislature, and the Supreme Court stepped in that instance and said the federal court doesn't have the province to overturn the will of the people in the state of North Carolina as expressed by their elected representatives. So that is the major distinction there, that litigation that ascended to the Supreme Court through the state court system versus a federal court case.
Now, Amy Coney Barrett now sits on the court. So someone can petition, in this case it might be the Trump election team, going back to the United States Supreme Court now with the issue in Pennsylvania with regards to how they're handling the absentee ballots. Is that a valid case, at least to bring to the Supreme Court now?
Well, potentially, depending on what the specific allegations are. Like I said, they won't be able to reassert the exact same cause of action that the Supreme Court just in a 4-4 decision ruled basically to allow the state Supreme Court decision to stay in place. But if they have an additional allegation or something related to the first accusation that has some a different nuance to it, that very well could end up at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay.
Well, if there are, and I have no reason to doubt what the Pennsylvania official said, but if there are still, this morning, 1.4 million ballots outstanding, then
that,
I can
does that
see,
mean they're sitting at the warehouse waiting to be counted? Is that what that means?
Are
1.4 is out there, we don't know if they've been returned or not.
What I read from the state officials who held a couple of news conferences this morning, 1.4 million of these absentee ballots, they are being counted now. They're only about halfway through from what I understand, but they're not going to post the results until the next day or so.
So that is currently President Trump holds, it looks like, about a 500,000 vote advantage.
That shrunk since last night.
It shrunk about 200,000. Yeah, 200,000.
700,000.
Which, with no explanation in terms of the percentage, didn't go. Did percentage still 64?
Still 64.
That's what it was last night.
So I don't know how that's happened. But 1.4 million is a lot of ballots. So Pennsylvania is still up in the air. I mean, 500,000, even 700,000 vote advantage could evaporate depending on who mailed in the 1.4 million ballots, which generally I think they say, at least in the Philadelphia area, those are usually 3 out of 4 for the Democrats. I'm not sure about the rest of the state. Mm-hmm. So this is just a bizarre world right now, and this is why people want now COVID was a freak of nature, literally. Deliberate
China.
On the part of the China.
A freak of laboratory?
Yeah, freak of laboratory. But going forward, I feel even more strongly that these states have to make secure their voting system. Yeah. And that's going to mean you have to show up at a poll with an ID, and the poll watcher, the official, looks at your signature, looks at your face. You sign, and that's when you cast your vote. Mm-hmm. And absentee ballots should be rare, but you still should have to go somewhere and show your face or have someone come to your
request. And you guys probably covered this before, because there's been lots of conversation about, how did Florida, which population is far, far greater than the state of Pennsylvania, how were they able to navigate their mail-in ballots and their absentee ballots and get it all counted by election night versus Pennsylvania? And one of the major distinctions is that in Florida, under the Republican governor Ron DeSantis, they counted the mail-in ballots as they came in,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Even prior to Election Day, whereas the law in Pennsylvania is that they could not start counting until Election Day. So that's one of the major distinctions that probably should have been revisited and considered before Election Day. That way we could have avoided being at this particular point where we are now. But when you have a situation where you have a backlog of nearly 1.5 million ballots that haven't been counted yet, and I have to believe that when you have the change in President Trump's lead from, and I checked it this morning, was over 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania, to now being down to about 500,000, I'm sure some of that 1.4 million votes are included in that,
right,
even though the various websites may not have updated the percentage of the vote turned in.
The way I counted it with Pennsylvania projecting out was if President Trump was up 700,000 votes after all the in-person had been counted and all that was left, all, was the 1.4 million absentee ballots yet to be counted. And those absentee ballots broke 60-40 for Biden, like they were in the state of Pennsylvania, as I understand it. President Trump still wins the Keystone State, even so. You see what I'm saying? If 1.4 million are counted and it breaks 60-40 and the president's up 700,000 before the voting count starts of those absentee ballots, he still wins. Maybe by what, 100,000, 200,000, something like that?
Yeah, I'm
you're doing the math
I'm
on that?
I'm doing the math on my calculator.
That's a projection on my part, but I think that's what people are going on. But
that's
is that under 100,000?
Well, it'd be 840,000, but the remainder of that it'd be over 500,000. Would go to the president, so you would still win.
He would still win. So it's if that's the case, if you give Trump Pennsylvania, if North Carolina and Georgia, then
all he needs is Nevada at that point.
But that's all Biden needs.
Yes,
right. It would come down to Nevada.
That's amazing.
It could come down to Nevada.
Can you guys help me understand something?
Yes, please.
How in the world can a state like Nevada just decide, okay, that's enough counting for tonight.
I know.
We're going to go home now, and we're going to get some bonbons, maybe get a little bit of donuts, maybe
put my feet up.
Swing down to New Orleans, get a couple beignets from Cafe Du Monde, and we'll pick this up next week.
Yeah.
Right.
That blows my mind.
I know, because they've said that, I mean, there's Nevada quick.
They just stopped counting.
Stopped counting. They've been at 67% for 12, 13 hours now, and they just—I guess—they went to the house.
Yeah. Well, like I said, a bunch of them just went to Huddle House or to Chili's with their masks, and
I don't understand it. Okay.
I do not understand that at all. I don't understand how you could start that process. And
Fred,
say,
North Carolina's still at 94%. That hasn't moved. Since last night, 94% in Georgia.
Yep.
Yeah.
That hasn't moved.
Yeah.
So,
listen, I'll just say this. I am glad we know Jesus.
Yes.
I'm just saying, because
In all seriousness,
that foundational place to stand, where else do you stand? I'm tired. My brain's not working. But that does make me look at this and say, okay, this is really messed up, but you know what? The kingdom still stands, and God's going to get us through.
Yep.
How do you like that platitude,
Amen.
Folks?
Amen. Hey, that's a good one, right from the scripture. Okay, we will be back. We will be back in 5 minutes with Steve Jordahl. Steve's got some interesting ballot initiatives that were passed or rejected across the country. You're going to find these very interesting. So stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.